Hello, I'm Razia Iqbal. Welcome to NewsHour from the BBC World Service. It comes to you live from London. We begin today with Ethiopia and the conflict between the government in Addis Ababa and the northern province of Tigray. Fighting began in early November. The government in Addis accuses the Tigray People's Liberation Front, which controls the province, of treason. The TPLF sees the central government as illegitimate. In the middle of this, civilians, many thousands who have now fled into neighbouring Sudan, and the UN says the two-week conflict is developing into a full-scale humanitarian crisis. We'll speak to the UNHCR in a moment, and we'll also hear from the TPLF spokesman, a former Ethiopian ambassador who is ethnically Tigrayan. The conflict is already thought to have claimed the lives of hundreds. It is, though, very difficult to get information from Tigray, as there is a virtual communications blackout. Regional powers, namely Uganda and Kenya, are calling for negotiations to find a peaceful resolution to the conflict. Among the anxieties at the moment is the spectre of the conflict spilling outside Ethiopia. There are suggestions that neighbouring Eritrea is already involved. Today, the ultimatum given by the Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed to the TPLF has expired. He said the conflict was entering its final stage. Let's begin in Addis Ababa and speak to Tom Gardner of The Economist magazine. Tom, what can you tell us about what's happening on the ground in Tigray given this communications blackout? It's obviously very difficult to get hold of information.
As you mentioned, the Prime Minister said that over the coming days there will be a final push, which essentially means that the National Army is going to attempt to march on the regional capital of Mekele in Tigray. It's pretty hard to know exactly where we are at or where they are at this particular moment. I have heard there is quite significant fighting now on the southern front of Tigray near the town of Alamata, which the Ethiopian army captured or liberated a few days ago. The Tigrayan forces, I'm told, retreated to the nearby mountains, and that seems to be where the fighting is taking place on that front. Then you have the border, the northern border of Tigray with Eritrea, neighboring Eritrea, where it's even harder to know what exactly is going on. But certainly the TPLF and the Tigray regional president has claimed that there is multiple active fronts now along that border. They've also claimed that there are military drones being used that belong to the United Arab Emirates. That's unconfirmed, but that gives you a sense of the possibility that this could really be spreading beyond Ethiopia's borders.
And what about how people in the capital are responding to the rhetoric from Abiy Ahmed? I mean, is it a popular conflict in the capital?
I think in the capital is essentially, you know, Abiy's stronghold at the moment. It's certainly where I think the most kind of popular enthusiasm for this conflict can be found. Today there's been, I guess you could call support the troops rallies, or that people have been going onto the streets with flags, waving their flags in support of the National Army, clapping horns, beeping their horns, waving balloons with the national colours and flags, and office workers coming out onto the streets to clap and show their support. That was today. I mean, that was called for by the Prime Minister yesterday, and there seems to have been quite a lot of uptake. So I reckon there is fairly substantial support here in Addis Ababa, but the rest of the country, I would say it might not be quite so widespread.
Tom Gardner of The Economist magazine joining us live from the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa. Thank you. Well, just before we came on air, we got through to Fesehe Tesame, who is a retired senior Ethiopian diplomat now, Tigrayan himself, with a home in the region. He now advises the TPLF-run regional government in Tigray.
Honorable Abiy Ahmed have, from day one, conspired against the TPLF, against the Tigray people and its government, with a 30-year-old dictatorship in Asmara, just because the TPLF and the Tigray people will not accept a one-man dictatorship in Ethiopia. There is no way people that have history, civilization, that has been there in the making of Ethiopia will surrender.
Just to be clear, you are saying that the Tigrayan people and the military forces on the ground in northern Ethiopia will not surrender, that you will continue to fight.
It will be unthinkable for 6 million people simply to give up their rights, their identity, their humanity, just because a dictator asks them to do so. What I can assure you, and the world should know this, they have history, and they are going to fight the last person. Every capable person is now ready to defend itself. They haven't crossed any border to anybody's neighboring states. They haven't done anything wrong. They are in their own homes, churches. Just the other day, the Ethiopian Air Force bombed a church in Makala, in the capital, for no reason than simply to terrorize the people.
But you say they have done nothing wrong. It's been reported that Tigrayan forces have fired rockets into neighboring Eritrea, which, of course, raises the specter of this becoming a much bigger regional conflict.
I can assure you the international community, especially those that police the international conflicts, they do know Eritrea is fully engaged in the war in Ethiopia. And the Tigray government have said they will do everything to defend themselves. They are marching in the towns and villages of Tigray. Isaias Afwerki has a 20-year grudge against the Tigray people. And now he has been waiting for this time, in collaboration with the new dictator in Addis Ababa, to get even with the Tigrayan people.
We are speaking to you from outside Ethiopia. What can you tell us about what's happening on the ground where the conflict is happening at the moment?
Right now, the Ethiopian Defense Forces are bombing civilians indiscriminately throughout the province. For the first time, the Ethiopian Defense Forces, the Air Force, has bombed a hydropower plant that is part and parcel of the Ethiopian national grid, just because it is located in Tigray. They have bombed a huge sugar factory just because it is in Tigray. The Ethiopian army, the Eritrean army, and now the South Sudanese government has officially acknowledged that they have been requested to send 4,000 troops to fight along the Ethiopian Defense Forces against the Tigray people. The world is looking the other way. There is a genocide in the making. This is not exaggeration. 6 million people are cornered.
Is there anything that will bring the TPLF to the table?
Yes, there is. The international community has to ask both belligerent parties to come to a negotiating table unconditionally now. And the TPLF have said, now, before, we need to sit down and talk. They should sit down under the African Union, IGAD. Neighboring countries are asking, but Abiy have said he has completely to finish this operation before you can sit down. The international community, one, can call for unconditional ceasefire. I am talking to people of the Security Council. They tell us, well, we have to wait and see because it is an internal matter. That is what happens in Rwanda. They, at least the Security Council, the African Union, has to call for a ceasefire, establish a humanitarian corridor. Otherwise, people are going to die, and to die miserably.
That was Fesehe Tesemi, a retired senior Ethiopian diplomat who is now an advisor to the TPLF-run regional government in Tigray. We can't confirm any of the military details presented there by him on the ground. Well, since the conflict began, more than 25,000 people have fled into Sudan, which already has more than 1 million refugees. The UN fears the numbers fleeing may be just a fraction of those forced from their homes because of the fighting. Let's speak to Babar Baluch, who is a spokesman for the UNHCR based in Geneva. What can you tell us in terms of the numbers that are fleeing at the moment?
Thank you. The numbers have now crossed 27,000 refugees, arriving into eastern Sudan. We are talking about Kassala and Gedaref state of Sudan. UNHCR today warned that a full-scale humanitarian crisis is unfolding as thousands of these refugees flee ongoing fighting in the Tigray region. The rate of daily arrival of refugees is alarming. It's 4,000 per day. We are talking women, men, and children who are crossing the border from Ethiopia inside Sudan.
And in your view, that is causing you what kind of concern? I mean, is this dangerous for these people, let alone the resources that you may or may not have in place in Sudan to take care of them?
Sadly, like any other conflict, this conflict is also proving one thing, which is like conflicts bring a lot of miseries for human beings, for civilians as well. And here we are seeing the same. What people are coming with is literally nothing. I mean, most are women, children, and men. Many are telling us that they just left the Tigray region in a rush because either of the fighting in the surroundings close to them or the fear of fighting. We have seen images where mothers are carrying their babies on their back. There was a wife who said she has lost her husband. She does not know what's going to happen to her and the family. So the stories of misery, human misery, in terms of family separations and whatever people have seen. As UNHCR are working with the Sudanese authorities, trying to rush to the border points to move people inside. But the sheer scale of displacement is huge. And we as humanitarians, local communities and authorities will help to step up our response for these arriving refugees.
And what is it that you're calling for from the wider world, the international community?
I think first let's focus inside Ethiopia. The humanitarian situation as a result of the crisis is growing rapidly. So our first call is for peace and urge all parties to respect safety and security of all civilians in Tigray. Internationally, we call for international solidarity for situations like in Sudan, which was already hosting nearly a million refugees. This is kind of a new chapter being written in the history of displacement that no one really wants to see.
Babar Baloch, spokesman for the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, speaking to us from Geneva. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to the BBC World Service. This is NewsHour. Still to come in today's programme, the BBC looks into forced extra work in the Indian garment industry.
They used to scold us if we took leave. They ask us to work full nights and also late nights. So I can't cook.